is we're in Exodus chapter 9, Exodus and chapter 12. So find that scripture. Some of you teenage young people would have enjoyed seeing adults yesterday in different stores around town interviewing mannequins, conducting interviews with different store employees using a banana. What else did we do? Jogging with people that we found running down the road on our video scavenger hunt. It was very good. The best thing I saw was a group of men, four men, and I think it was Dick's Sporting Goods? It was Dick's Sporting Goods, and they were supposed to sing a junior church song in a place of business, and they got into a boat, and they sang Peter, James, and John had a little sailboat in the boat. And they were singing. We got to watch that. It was excellent. So we had a good time, and it was a blessing. And some of you young people that have done some of those things over the years would have gotten a kick out of watching the adults do it. But we enjoyed it. We had a great time. We got all 20 things done. My team, our team, got all 20 things done. And we videoed other teams cheating. Yep, we sure did. So that was a blessing, amen. So we not only got ours done, but we got them cheating, and that was a blessing. All right, very good. Thank you, Brother Jason, and thank you, Debbie Montgomery, and all those in George that made that possible. We had a great time. Exodus chapter 12, let's stand together, please, in verse number 25. We'll read 25, 26, 27. How's that? Those three verses in Exodus 12. Exodus 12, and join me on verse 26, okay? And our Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped." Let's pray. Father, please come tonight. Thank you for the good, warm singing you've already enjoyed and the good, warm fellowship. And, oh God, I pray and ask that you'll please be in the message and then our time around your table for these few minutes this evening. Thank you so much for these people and the joy of being with them in this service tonight. What a blessing it is to our hearts. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Called them to set him free,
thank you. That takes me back about 25, 26 years ago to a bus full of teenagers out in Iowa, and often on our activities, we would sing those good old Lester Roloff songs, and that was one of them, and a lot of other songs that Brother Roloff made popular, and I can still hear those young people singing. Boy, there's nothing like a busload of teenagers with a good attitude and good spirit singing for the glory of God, enjoying singing. And I can remember that in those days he didn't come down. Wonderful song tonight. Look at verse number 26 in your Bible. The Lord said that your children are going to say unto you someday, they're going to ask you a question, and they're going to say this: what mean ye by this service? What mean ye by this service? We're going to talk about the Lord's table tonight, and then at the end we'll serve the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your great plan of salvation. Thank you for Jesus who stayed on the tree and didn't come down. When they mocked him, when they criticized him, when they belittled him, he just prayed, Father, forgive them. And Lord, we would have been in that group had we been there, probably, that was mocking him and belittling him. And oh, what love the Savior had for us. Now, Lord, help us to think on that tonight. And may this service exalt the Lord Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. We go to the Old Testament tonight to prepare for this observance of the Lord's Supper. The children of Israel, chapter 12, were on the brink of their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. I don't think I have to rehearse that with you. Children of Israel had been down in Egypt in bondage, or most of the time in bondage, for over 430 years. They were under severe oppression. They were under the hard-hearted hand of Pharaoh, but God was about to spring them from this awful condition. And God was going to use the sacrificial death and the shed blood of a lamb to protect His people from judgment. You remember that they were supposed to take a lamb from their herd without spot and without blemish on the 10th day of the month, and they were supposed to put it up, okay? And they were supposed to keep it up for 4 days. And then they were supposed to kill that lamb. The lamb had to die. And then they were supposed to take the blood and with some hyssop, take the blood and put it on the doorpost on both sides of the door, and then on the lintel, the post that runs above the door, and put the blood above and on both sides of the door. And then they were to eat the lamb, the Bible says, with unleavened bread. They were supposed to roast it in the fire and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They were supposed to eat it with their traveling clothes on and their shoes on. Because at midnight, God was going to pass over the land, and every door that was not covered with the protective blood of the sacrificial lamb, the Lord entered into that home and killed the firstborn child. A horrible, awful, awful judgment. But every house that had the blood on the door was passed over. Amen. And we love it when we sing that song, "When I See the Blood, I Will Pass Over You." And that's where that song takes its text. Okay? Now, this is exactly what happened that night. And then after that horrible judgment, the Bible says the Egyptians rose, and they literally thrust the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. You remember, they gave them food. You remember, they gave them jewelry. You remember, they gave them clothing. And they said, get out of here. Leave. Just get gone out of our land. And God delivered them. Now, before all of this took place, we're reading in chapter 12, God told them about it. And He said, because of what's going to happen, you're going to hold a special feast every year, called the Passover feast, to commemorate the Passover when they passed over, the death angel passed over the land. Now, in verse number 24, the Bible says, "Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." You see that in verse number 24. Verse number 25, when you get into the land, the promised land that God gives you, you're still going to keep this service. You're going to keep the Passover in the promised land, okay? You'll keep it forever. And it said, when you get over there, now, it said the children will come. When you get over there in the promised land and you're observing this service, the children will come and the children will ask you a question. They'll ask you, what mean ye by this service? In other words, when you kill that lamb and you take the blood and you roast the lamb and you eat the lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They're going to ask you, your kids are going to ask you, Dad, what are we doing? What's this all about? What mean ye by this service? And then the fathers were expected to teach the children why they were observing this ordinance, this special feast time. Now, people, we must know the meaning of what we do. Otherwise, we are not profited by it, and certainly the next generation will not know its meaning either. If we don't know the meaning and pass it on, then the meaning will soon be lost. You see, we do not believe in the faith of the man who was asked what he believed, and he said, I believe what the church believes. And then the man said, well, what does the church believe? And he said, well, the church believes what I believe. And he says, well, what do you and the church believe? And the man said, the church and I believe the same thing. And we don't call that knowledge. We call that foolishness. We don't call that faith. We call that silliness. Okay? That's ignorance. And that certainly is not being ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Now, what the Passover feast was to the children of Israel, the Lord's Supper is to you and me today. Now, let me say this tonight, without taking anything away from the Passover and what it meant to the Jews, let me say that the Lord's Supper and what it means to us is far greater than what the Passover meant to the Jews. You see, the Passover was about deliverance from physical bondage. The Lord's Supper is about deliverance from spiritual bondage. The Passover involved unleavened bread. The Lord's Supper involves the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover involved the blood of the Lamb. The Lord's Supper involves the blood of the Lamb of God, which was slain to take away the sin of the world. You see, there are many parallels, but they are on completely different planes, if you will. You know, the Lord's Supper, even though it parallels the Passover, the Lord's Supper, it runs on a far higher plane than the Passover does. And I'm not taking anything away from the Jews and what the Passover means to me, means to them. I'm just saying, brother, what this ordinance means to you and me in this New Testament day and age as Christians, it runs on a higher plane than what the Passover meant to the Jews in the Old Testament time. Still, there are parallels. And one parallel being that when our children ask us, what mean you by this service? We ought to be able to tell them. And we have newly saved people in the room tonight who maybe have not been involved in a Lord's table service. And they, as new children of God, babes in Christ, if you will, and all of us were that kind of child of God at one point in time when we first got saved, it's good for us to explain, what does this mean? What mean we by this service? We better know what we're doing, and we better understand why we're doing it, and we better be able to answer that question and pass it on to the future generations so that they will know. Now, I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 14 in Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says about the Passover feast for the Jews, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. So the Passover feast was a memorial. Now, what is a memorial? A memorial is that which preserves the memory of something. A memorial is that which preserves the memory of something. You see, God did not want the children of Israel to forget this very special deliverance. Neither, church, does God want us to forget the very special event that delivered us from the bondage of sin. And I'm talking tonight about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, kids, or maybe teenagers, or maybe newly saved people in Christ, what mean ye by this service? What is this all about? Well, let me just say that the gold plates and the white cloth and all of that is just because we want it to look sharp and to be sharp. And anything done for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be as sharp as you can make it. But there's really nothing in having these type plates and so forth. This is a memorial. This is a memorial. This is something that preserves the memory of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when our children ask us, and when our teenagers ask us, or when new babes in Christ say, "What mean ye by this service?" we tell them that it is a memorial. It is meant for us to keep in memory the sacrifice of our Savior. Now, let me give you three things to think about tonight as far as being in memory of. Number one, this service is in memory of Jesus. It's in memory of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul was explaining this service to the church at Corinth, he quoted the Lord Jesus twice in verses 24 and 25. And Jesus said, "When you pass the bread," which we'll do in a little while, and that bread is a picture of His body. He said, "When you pass the bread, this do in remembrance of Me." And He said, "When you pass the cup that has the juice in it," and we'll do that in a little bit, and that juice and that cup is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. Jesus said, "When you pass the blood, when you pass the cup, you do that in remembrance of Me." So twice in those two verses, Jesus said, "This service is in memory of Me." Folks, this service has to be in memory of Jesus Christ. We could talk about a lot of things, but if we don't talk about Him, we've missed the purpose of this service. We've missed it altogether. You see, this is not about the old-time religion. This is about the one and only Savior. This is not about an elaborate ceremony or ritual. This is about an exorbitant cost for our salvation. That's what it's about. This is not about a snack of bread and juice for somebody with a hungry stomach tonight. No, no, no. This is about a sacrifice acceptable to God. In fact, the only sacrifice upon which God will look to forgive a lost sinner from their transgressions and receive him as His own child. This pictures the only sacrifice acceptable to God. This is about Jesus. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. I love that old hymn, "Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree." And that's what this is for tonight. This is so that you and I can, by eyes of faith, see Jesus Christ on Calvary tonight. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. And like Dan sang a minute ago, "Father, forgive them," thus did He pray. Even while His life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. It's about Him tonight, friend. And because no one but Jesus ever loved so, no one but Jesus deserves to be loved so. Take a little time tonight. What mean you by this service, Pastor Angel? Hey, Faith Baptist Church, what mean you by this service? What are these plates? And what is this bread? And what is this cup? And what is this juice? And what mean you by this service? Is this some ritual? Is this some religious enterprise? No. This is about Jesus Christ. It's a memorial. It's a memory of Christ. It's about His body that hung on the cross. It's about His blood that flowed from His veins. It's about the salvation that He purchased on the cross of Calvary. Love Him a little bit tonight. Love Him a little bit tonight. I know you love Him. That's why you're here in church tonight. I know you love Him. That's why you were singing tonight. I know you love Him. That's why you were fellowshipping tonight. I know you love Him. That's because all those things please Him. But love Him tonight. When the bread and the juice is passed, think for a little while. Think on the Lord Jesus. And by eyes of faith, see Him on Calvary's tree like the songwriter did. Because this is in memory of Jesus, God the Son. It has to be. It has to be, if we observe it correctly. It has to be in memory of Jesus. But now, wait a minute. I don't think it has to be in memory of Jesus, but I don't think it has to be limited to being in memory of Jesus. Because I don't think we do any harm tonight to allow this service to also, number two, be in memory of God the Father. That familiar verse, the most familiar verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. Can you say it with me tonight? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Did you get it? "For God so loved the world that He gave." We sing that song from time to time, "Saved by the blood of the crucified one." Now watch me, listen. The Father, He spake, and His will, it was done. Great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. saved by the blood of the crucified one. I see you with that little guy in your lap over there, Brother Larry. Who would you give him for tonight? You're not going to give that boy up. I wouldn't give mine up. But God gave His up. Now let that sink in for a little bit. This is not some ritual. This is not some spiritual exercise. This is a memorial. It has to be a memory of Jesus. He told us that. I don't think we do any disservice to Him tonight to take some time also to remember God the Father. You see, this wonderful, glorious, sweet, precious, marvelous salvation, this great salvation was initiated by the Father's love for His lost and sinful creation. People, I've said before, had God left us go, we would have been bound for... If God had left us go, we would still be bound for hell tonight. Because we're all descendants of Adam. And if God had not... If God had just let the whole human race that began with Adam and Eve go because Adam and Eve sinned against Him, if He had just let us... We'd all be bound for hell. He could have started a whole other race of people that maybe would have worshipped Him in obedience and love and never disobeyed Him. But no. He loved His creation too much. So He... Well, how does that song sing? Oh, love that would not let me go. God the Father's heart devised a plan, and so to the earth came His precious Son, and to Calvary and an ugly death, all of it for our salvation. It was all birthed in God the Father's heart. So I think when the bread and the juice goes by tonight, not only is it good for us to remember Jesus Christ and His body and His blood, but I think it's important for us at the same time to remember that, the whole thing of Jesus coming to this earth and becoming the sacrificial lamb on the cross of Calvary was all according to the Father's will. All according to the Father's will. So it's a memory of Jesus. I don't think we do a disservice tonight to observe this ordinance in memory of God the Father. And number three, neither do I think we do this a disservice tonight to remember the Holy Spirit and to make this service in memory of Him. You see, God's plan birthed in His heart for the world, the salvation of the world. And Jesus' death on Calvary was for all people. But listen to me, the Holy Spirit is the one who brought it home to you and to me. He's the one that brought it home, friend. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who points out our sin to us. Do you remember that happening? The Holy Spirit is the one who puts us under the condemnation of our sin and helps us see that we are deserving of eternal separation from God forever. The Holy Spirit is the one who then points us as condemned sinners to the spotless, blameless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one that says to our heart, trust Him. Remember the Holy Spirit tonight. Remember the work He did on your heart. Do you remember when the Father's love became real to you? Do you remember when the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary became real to you? Do you remember when the Spirit of God brought it to your heart? I do. I remember. And for those 18 years I had lived, with the knowledge that, yes, God loved the world and sent His Son to die for the world. And I had lived with the knowledge that Jesus became the sacrifice for my sin. But I lived that way for 18 years until the Holy Spirit of God brought it to my heart and began to squeeze my heart and bring me under conviction and help me to see my sin and the condemnation of my sin and how that I needed a Savior. And the sweet Spirit of God didn't leave me in a condemned, lost condition, but pointed me to Jesus and said, "There He is, there He is." Remember when He brought it to your heart? We're not going to do it tonight. I don't feel particularly led to ask for testimonies, but it blesses me when we do have testimonies, and specific testimonies about where you were and when you got saved, and people start standing up and saying, "I was a child, and I was at this place, and I was a teenager, and I was at this place, and I was a young adult, and I was in church, and I was at home, and somebody brought the gospel to my house, and I was on the front steps of the school building over in Gardner, Braidwood, and I got saved. I was 18, and a friend at work was showing me some Bible verses, and I've heard your testimonies, and I can recall some of them. And it comes to all ages, and it comes to all places where people are, and the Holy Spirit is not limited to a church altar, and the Holy Spirit is not limited to some age. The Holy Spirit can get to a heart and begin to work on that heart and bring conviction of sin. And friend, until He visits the heart, that great plan of salvation that was birthed in the heart of God and the sacrifice of our Savior, until it gets brought to our heart, you're not going to heaven on somebody else's coattails. You can forget that, friend. You're not going to heaven because the first time you visited church was 9 months before you were born. You're going to heaven because you can remember a time when the Holy Spirit of God brought the message of God's love and Christ's sacrifice to your heart. And you, by faith, turned to Jesus and received Him as your personal Savior. Do you remember that, friend? Don't forget that. So let this service tonight, what mean ye by this service? What's it all about? Brother Angel, what's this service about tonight? Is this some kind of ritualistic thing that we just go through? Just the motions and the form? Oh, no. This is a memorial service. This is in memory of Jesus. It has to be. But this also is in memory of God the Father, because Jesus came according to His will. And I think it's in memory of the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the great triune God. And you say, Pastor, where do we come in? Well, we're just sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. We're just on the receiving end of God's wonderful mercy and grace and love. And I just am so glad to be on the end of that. Amen. What mean you by this service? It's in memory of Christ. It's in memory of God the Father. And it's in memory of the sweet Holy Spirit. When the elements are passed tonight and the ladies play, and you're tempted to sit there and think about tomorrow, discipline your mind and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And think on Jesus, and by eyes of faith, try to see Him on that cross. And then by eyes of faith, see a loving Heavenly Father seated on the throne, who one day said, Son, you're going to have to go. And then by eyes of faith tonight, see that sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Think back a little bit to the day, the time, the place when He knocked on your door and you opened your heart to Christ. And now, you're a child of the King. What a blessed thing. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We don't love You near like we ought to. Not near like we ought to. But You sure do love us. And far more than we deserve. May we use these moments at the close of this service now to remember Jesus, to remember You, Father in heaven, and to remember You, Holy Spirit, and the day, the hour You brought the message to our heart. Maybe it was in a church service. Maybe it was at home. Maybe it was around the kitchen table or on the living room couch. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class. Maybe it was in chapel. Maybe it was sitting with a friend at a lunch break. Maybe it was a dad or a mom, the human instrument that shared the gospel. But, oh, Holy Spirit, You worked on our hearts. Oh, God, our hearts were so hard. Our hearts were so cold, so dead in sin, until the sweet Holy Spirit came. Tenderized and quickened. Thank You so much for that. Thank You for the privilege to have this service tonight to remember the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. Draw us close to Him tonight. Help our hearts to be right, clean, pure, in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open. A good time for you. Ladies, play us a song if you'd like to visit the altar for a few moments tonight.